Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. So I was listening to Medea, but briefly. And Medea said, I don't know why all those people are talking about the universe, what the universe is doing for them. Because I didn't see the universe go to the cross, and I didn't see the universe die for my sins, and I didn't see the universe get raised up again. So I have to hand it to Medea. She got that right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. If you need healing in your body, if you'll just stand up right where you are, I'm going to pray for you. Anyone need healing today? Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, the Spirit of God is strong enough that you will touch each and every person right now who needs a miracle in their body. You see them right now in the name of Jesus. Touch bodies right now in Jesus' name. Take your miracle right now in the name of Jesus. We call it done. Take it by faith right now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. God is good. I'm so glad to see y'all. Praise the Lord. Danny and Jordan picked us up yesterday and we went to the Texican, which is a good place to go after you've been in Italy. And when she brought my tacos, I said, grazie. And then I went, well, it's time to get rid of that. Time to go back to gracias. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you. Well, we had fun though. It was really good. God moved. It was a blessing. I think Deb and I got to pray in eight churches. We put our feet in those churches. They're beautiful. They're gorgeous places. And we went in there and prayed. And so it was a blessing. We had a lot of fun. And all of us went in a glacier. It was cool. We were inside a glacier staring at the Matterhorn. Y'all know North Face, those t-shirts? That's the Matterhorn. Did y'all know that? Okay, well, I didn't until I went. Praise the Lord. But it was a good time. We had a good time. And Megan is healed, by the way. She did good. If you were watching her foot incident, she did okay. She's all right. And they saw most of what they were going to see. And Deb and I carried on. It was a blessing. Deb's trying to witness to the little... John, I'm kind of funny, if you could help me. Take your time, but kind of funny. Deb's witnessing to the Italian waiters, and they don't know what she's saying. And so she's leading this one all the way through it. And finally he says, you know, I don't know what you're saying. Let me call in, what was the guy's name, Emilio?
Yeah.
Emilio, and he can interpret. So Deb's ministering to him, and he's standing there repeating, if you believe in your heart, if you believe in your heart, if you confess with your mouth, if you confess with your mouth. And I mean, he's just going right through it. So, and then this lady comes in and jumps in on it and says, I want all the love too. What are y'all talking about? So anyway, it was good. We had a good time. And I'm telling you, that food is clean.
It is.
We ate pizza and pasta and cornetos, and I came back only gaining 2 pounds, so that's pretty good. Of course, we walked miles and miles, but it was good, and maybe we could show you some pictures later, but we had a good time. Switzerland is amazing. It's amazing. Let's go over to Deuteronomy 30:19. I had fun traveling, but right now I'm doing my favorite thing.
Oh, yeah.
Being with you and ministering the Word of God. Deuteronomy 30:19. You know it. God is good. Thank you, Danny, for everything you did while we were gone.
Yes.
Your blessing. That was good preaching, good praying.
Amen.
We tuned in when we could. And it's so interesting. Out in the middle of you're going through the mountains in Switzerland. I mean, way bigger than, you know, out by Jim's house and stuff. I mean, these things are huge, and you're down in there and you have 5G. I mean, we could pick y'all up. We could make phone calls. It was amazing. You're going through all these mountains, and all of a sudden in the middle of all these mountains, there's a city. You're like, isn't that interesting? I mean, it was just beautiful. So we were able to keep up with you, and praise the Lord, it was good. Deuteronomy 30:19, I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. It is not by chance that you are blessed. It is not by chance that you are blessed. It is by choice. It is by choice that you are blessed. It is God's will to give you prosperity with a purpose. Prosperity with a purpose. Amen. That purpose is to be a blessing to others. The enemy wants nothing more than to keep God's people chained to a spirit of lack and limitation. Amen. But we should not be limited. Most people are bound, church, by a spirit of limitation. They get to a chokehold. Something stops them, whether it's how they've been raised or how they perceive something or what society is saying or what religious people are saying or whatever would make them uncomfortable. There's that chokehold. But we shouldn't be bound by a spirit of limitation because God wants the opposite. So the key to living a prosperous life is to invest our resources, our time, and our gifts into others. That's what we do. That's why we're prosperous. We're not prosperous just to be, this is Jimmy, what you gonna give me? Not just to give, you know, to pile up on us. We're to be a hose, a water hose. It's to come in and go out and come in and go out and of course be blessed along the way. Absolutely. But we are called to help other people that should be our purpose. And it is the whole purpose of prosperity. It's really interesting to me that the prosperity message is so often met with controversy. We've had people come in here, and even some of our dear friends have said, well, I just don't believe, you know, they'll tell our friends, oh, I don't believe in the prosperity message. And that's really an interesting thing, because that's exactly how you live a holy life. Yeah. Yes, it is. What? The love of money is the root of all evil. Well, just wait a minute. Loving money would be. Mm-hmm. Having money doesn't.
Right. Yeah, that's good.
You just don't let money have you. But it takes money to get things done, as we all well know. And so to live a holy life and be in service to others, you've got to have something to give. You've got to have, or you have to have enough to go do what you need to do. Amen. So you can only help and minister to others if you have some time. So if your time's all sewed up, you might want to think about it. You got to have some gifts, those things that you're bents, the things that you're talented in, this and that. You got to have some money, and you got to have some anointing. Amen. Amen. We are kingdom investors. That's who we are. We are blessed to bless others. That's what God told Abram. He was blessed to be a blessing. Doctrines that enshrine poverty bring on poverty. And that doesn't bless anyone, and it doesn't push out darkness. The Crisis Network, y'all familiar with Kevin and Pastor Jackie and all they do in that crisis. What if nobody gave? What if nobody, all the churches give into that, including us? Well, how would that function? How would people that don't have, you know, what would happen? Well, if every church said, well, you know, we're not giving anything. But if they have something to give, it helps Kevin and them. That's what I call them, Kevin and them. Kevin's a great guy, isn't he? He's a sweet man. But the truth is all these things that we want to see go forward, we have to have funds to do it. Have any of you watched The Winner's Way lately to see what we're doing? Have you seen the church they're about to build in Columbia, that we're about to build in Columbia? Did you see that we've got two churches going up in the Dominican Republic right now? And one other one.
El Salvador.
They are going up, y'all. And it's possible that one of us will get invited to travel down there. We'll see. Amen. But if we didn't have the funds, if we weren't all so generous, those churches wouldn't be going up around the world. You're either a sender or a goer or both.
Wow.
I'm both.
Yes.
But if you're a sender, you're building that church today.
Yeah.
So prosperity is a good thing. I just hope I'm encouraging you to be prosperous.
Amen.
Just go ahead and be prosperous.
Yeah.
Wealth is the ability to create positive outcomes.
Yeah.
Wealth is light in darkness. Wealth is a can-do attitude. Wealth is radical generosity. Wealth is always thankful and never jealous. It doesn't brag. It celebrates others.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. If wealth and riches are so inherently evil, what are they doing in heaven? There's a problem there. Why would God describe heaven so lavishly if wealth were bad or even bad for you? Because
yeah.
Heaven is rich.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no asphalt there, honey. These streets are made of something called gold. It's a beautiful place. The Garden of Eden meant voluptuous living. That was a beautiful place. But when it comes to heaven, heaven's not described as a place of filled with opium fields and heroin factories.
No.
Right? No. Why? Because drugs are evil. Are drugs evil? They ruin people's lives.
Right.
Wealth cannot be intrinsically evil, or the Bible wouldn't intrinsically. I'm getting it out there. I'm starting to talk too fast. The Bible wouldn't be describing heaven as good. It wouldn't be wealthy. Think about that. Heaven is rich. Heaven is good. Heaven is prosperous. Heaven is everybody working for each other. People don't mind stopping and helping another person in heaven. But there's no resistance there. Everything's good. Everything's flowing. Heaven is full of wealth. So it's interesting to me that religious people are going to sit around all the time and knock wealth when it's exactly what they need to change the world.
Yeah.
You know, what doesn't change the world is greed.
Yeah, true.
What doesn't change the world is poverty.
Yeah.
What doesn't change the world is this religious doctrine that hates the prosperity message. It's time for that to be over. We need to prosper. Everyone really wants to prosper. You understand that? They just use that doctrine as a way to not have to give.
Yes.
Y'all understand that, don't you?
Yes.
Because they think that people like me, that I'm trying to get money out of you. But what I'm trying to do is get finances to you. And I think I've proved that to you by now. And there are many, many people like us. Not everybody's looking to try to con you out of a dollar.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. And it's interesting to me, you know, God's goal, this is God's goal, because heaven is our prize and wealth is a part of that prize.
Amen.
And listen, did you ever think about this? What did Jesus tell us to pray? On earth,
yes.
As it is in heaven.
Yes.
Church, go ahead and prosper.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Choose to prosper. Go ahead and do it. And take the persecution. The Bible says that when you start harvesting, you'll get persecuted.
Well, where'd they get that money? They're spending God's money.
And all sorts of things will be said about you. You need to just forget about that. Love people. Don't take the insult. Forgive them and go ahead and prosper. Go ahead and be blessed, because those are the people you'll end up helping. You receive this word today? So, Father, we thank you that we can do these things. These are the things that we will do. We will tithe, we will sow seed, and we will harvest. The devourer will be rebuked. The devil's not going to get away with stealing our money, because we are tithers, and our funds are going to be multiplied according to the New Testament as a giver. Everything will come to us if we will decide it will. And if we stop struggling and just do what we've been told, everything will come to us. All the help we need, all the funds we need, not just for us personally, but for every good work. So, Father, today we make the choice to have wealth in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, brothers, sisters. Praise the Lord. I'm wealthy, and God made me that way. And I'm not going to hide from it. I have preacher friends who come to church in their oldest car. because they don't want people, you know, is how we'd say, ragging on them. I think we need to show our wealth. I think we need to show how blessed we are, because however blessed you are helps other people get to a new level. Amen. Get rid of that religious junk. Amen. It's the love of money. It's not money. Money will only, it's an amplifier. For example, if you commit adultery in Motel 6 and you get rich, you'll just commit adultery in the Hilton, you know, whatever, bigger. I got to go bigger. Hilton's not all they got. The Four Seasons. See what I'm saying? But you can do right by money. You can do the right thing. And I'm happy to say that I'm in a company of people that do the right thing with money. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. All right. Let's go over to Matthew 11:11. I want to talk to you about victory over the contradiction. Victory over the contradiction. Amen. Praise the Lord. Victory over the contradiction. Matthew 11:11. Are you there?
Glory.
Deb is. I'll get a drink while y'all are going there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You got the camera on me getting a drink? It's good. Praise the Lord. Matthew 11:11. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. So John's disciples have come now to see Jesus. They came to ask Jesus if he was really the Messiah, which is really a dumb question, but they did. And so it seemed that they were living in a contradiction. John the Baptist is sitting in prison. This is what they saw. How could Jesus, the Messiah, be here doing all these things and John's over here sitting in prison? This is in their thinking. And Jesus says this to them. He says, stop focusing on what you see there and start focusing on what you see here. And so he quoted it right there in the scriptures. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. You don't have to be poor anymore. That's what he was preaching. And blessed is he who's not offended because of me. Don't be offended because all these miracles are happening for me and you don't see them over here. But what you would be better off doing is focusing on all the things that are happening, all the things you have, and not the things you don't have. They don't have John out of prison, and he didn't get out, by the way. But I think if they could have focused more on what was going on with Jesus, he might have gotten out. Amen. And so they were living in that contradiction, and they needed to beat the contradiction. And that is the same thing we need to do every day. We need to have victory over the contradictions. So now, but what we see then is we see Jesus said this to them. He said, the least in the kingdom would be greater. Now that's you. That's me. All of us that came along, we're greater. Why did Jesus say that John the Baptist was so great? Because all the prophets prophesied about John, and then John fulfilled it, and then he fulfilled all the prophecies, and then what he did was he brought in the road work. Yes. He took down the mountains. He brought up the valleys by being a voice of one crying in the wilderness. And he allowed the kingdom of God to come in. And then the kingdom of God came in by force. And then it was available to you and me, people like you and me, who are passionate enough to take it. Yeah. Wow. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so listen to the Passion Translation. This is good. Matthew 11. For I tell you the truth, throughout history, there has never been a man who surpasses John the Baptist. Yet the least of those who now experience heaven's kingdom realm become even greater than he. From the moment John stepped onto the scene until now, the realm of heaven's kingdom is bursting forth. And passionate people have taken hold of its power. Passionate people take a hold of its power. Look at those words. Take hold of the power. Take hold of its power. Take hold. The kingdom suffers violence, okay? That's what it says. Yeah, now, don't get that mixed up with hostility. The kingdom suffers violence. The kingdom has been forcefully advancing. That's what that means. You got to help your King James here. The kingdom's been forcefully advancing. The violent take it by force, or forceful people have been seizing it. That's mine. I'm taking it. That kind of attitude. Forceful, vigorous, passionate, fervent. People willing to grab something. You're willing to grab something. You're willing to take hold of something. Praise the Lord. You know, The scripture says over in Hebrews 4, to labor therefore to enter into the rest. Does it? That's what it says. Okay. Now, notice it says labor before rest. What is that telling us? It means that you've got to passionately take this thing and get in it and sit in it and believe it, and it'll all work for you. But there is a part that you play, and your part's the grab. See? You've got to labor. You've got to grab. You have a part. God's only going to do his part. I'm getting ahead of my message, but we'll work through it here. So the violent take it by force. Forceful people have been seizing it. Now, Brother Hagin said, you can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but you certainly can keep him from building a nest in your hair. Right. You remember Brother Hagin saying that? Or me saying that Brother Hagin said that? Or everybody you've ever heard said Brother Hagin said that? So the truth is, the best way to combat the devil is to not get a foothold in the first place. You don't let him get a foothold in the first place. Okay. That's the best way. So when you have the first symptom of something, the best time right then to grab the word. And chase away the enemy right then. First, words matter.
Yes. Yep.
When something happens that's contradictory to what's going on, what comes out of your mouth is so important. If it's, I knew it, that always happened, then that's the way it's going to go. But if you say, nope, we're not going that way. So, you know, you get a little scratch. And then you're like, but instead of saying something, you just ignore it. You just ignore it. And so by the end of the day, it's got hold of you. When you got the scratch is the time to stop it. When you get the scratch, that's when you stop it, because you have to run the enemy out before he starts unpacking. It's easier to move someone out before they unpack. Amen. Once they've unpacked, everybody's laughing because you're thinking, yeah, I remember that. Amen. But so many times we don't address the first little scratch. We try to ignore it. We hope it goes away. By the end of the day, it's getting a hold of you. But before it takes hold of you, whether it be a thought, whether it be a pain in your body, or someone's words, a symptom, grab hold of the promises. Grab hold of your love. Well, I don't know about this. I don't know. What about this? Someone may be sitting in here right now going, I don't know about this stuff. Well, get in neutral and get in love. And then you can fly through this, and the Lord will open your eyes to whatever you need to see or agree with. And see, you don't have to, I knew I shouldn't, automatically. You know, you just automatically are going to not want to hear because it doesn't look like where you came from or something. Amen.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. I remember being just like that. Well, I believe that they're just so arrogant, those Word and Faith people. They're just so arrogant. And the Lord, He got on me. He said, no, they're right and you're wrong.
Yep.
Praise the Lord. All right. So, address that little scratch.
Yes.
Before it takes hold of you. Before that, your mind starts already knocking that person out. That, 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 that. Or whatever it is. No, I'm not listening to that. No, I can't. No. Before you do that, take hold of everything. Take hold of your thoughts. Walk in love.
Yes.
Stay open to God. Amen. Get your word, get your scripture, whatever it takes, and get some promises in there.
Right.
Church, I've said this to you many times. I'm going to say it to you again. No word, no faith. No faith, no anointing. No anointing, no burdens removed, no yokes destroyed.
That's right.
No word, no faith. Say it. No word, no faith.
No word, no faith.
No faith, no anointing.
No faith, no anointing.
No anointing.
No anointing.
No burdens removed.
No
yokes destroyed. So get word, get faith, get anointed, and get those burdens out of there.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. God is good. So you need the promises. Now I'm going to say something to you right now, and if you don't get anything out of anything I've said, just hear this thing right here. The minute you reach out by faith and take hold of the sickness or the situation and command it to be turned loose, get it loose, turn you loose, it becomes a reality in the spirit world right then. Right then. Okay, did you get that?
Yeah.
The moment you speak to that thing to turn you loose, nope, you're not coming on me. No, you're not having your way. No, I cast that thought down.
Yeah.
No, I'm not taking that thought. I'll not think ugly thoughts.
Yeah.
I'll not be like that. I'll not be prejudiced. I'll not, whatever it is. No, I'm not going to be like, whatever it is. The moment you, listen, thoughts don't fight thoughts. Words fight thoughts. And the moment you say something out loud and you put that thought down, you get it out there in words, what you want. Immediately, the spirit world around you, because you are the boss of the atmosphere. Immediately, it goes into action. Immediately. You got to know that. First words matter. The spirit world is waiting to see what you're going to declare. It's waiting. You gonna cuss? You gonna cuss the car? You gonna bring out all your religious junk? You gonna talk about how horrible things are? You gonna talk about Murphy's Law? Mm-hmm. You're gonna talk about, I don't care, it's messed up. Or, you know, are you just gonna, you gonna do that? Are you gonna, cause you're gonna have what you say.
Come on, amen.
You're gonna have it. And the spirit world is waiting to see. Angels are ready. Holy Spirit is ready. Demonic forces are ready. The devil is ready to take on whatever you're going to let come out your mouth. Bible says life and death's in the power of the tongue. But listen to this now. Once you do it, the constant holding fast to your confession will bring into will bring that thing into reality into this natural world.
Yeah.
Nope, I'm not taking that. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. And if you don't go back on that and you constantly say, I've got it. Thank you, Lord, for it. I've got it. I took it. I grabbed it with my words. I grabbed it with my yod.
Oh, that's good.
I grabbed it.
Yeah.
So I've got it. And you don't turn loose of it. It will manifest.
Yes. Yeah.
It'll manifest.
Thank you, Jesus.
It has to.
Yes.
There's no, it's a law. It's the, it's the law of the universe. It's the law of the spiritual world. It's the law. It's exactly what's going to happen. And God is just so brilliant. He's just so brilliant. You just stay with it and you don't go back the other way. And the thing that stops most people, church, is that they have their grasp is weak.
Yeah, okay.
Their grasp is weak. Remember, we're talking about the violent taking it by, the passionate taking it by force.
Right.
The ones that go, no, this is, I'm getting this. I'm having this. I'm winning at this. This junk's getting out. Whatever it is. The passionate are, I'm going to get this favor. I'm going to the college of my dreams. I'm going to this. I'm going to have the husband of my dreams. Not me, but other people. I've already done that. Now, amen. But the confession of it. No, God has said. But you've got to grab it.
Yes. Yes.
You've got to take it. The kingdom of God is pouring in this room right now. And you can take what you want from this room. If you'll get out of your pride and out of your religion and out of hiding and out of, you know, well, you know, I can't be very emotional about it. I'm taking it.
Amen. Yes.
It's mine.
Have
you ever gone to a concert or something and the seats are free? They're not free, but once you get in there, you can sit anywhere you want to. They'll knock you down to get up to the front.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Even Christians do that at our meetings.
Yeah.
I hate to say that, but they do. They'll push you out of the way to get those front seats. That just doesn't work for me. I wait a long time to get my front seat because the Bible says, take the seat in the back and but people will knock you down for what they want. Now listen, I had a balcony window, and I'll show you the video sometime if I can. Down, we're in this piazza, and there's two sandwich stores over here. I showed Danny and Jordan the video. Okay, there's two sandwich stores, and the streets are like as big as these aisles, and we're right there in Rome. And the people at 10:30 in the morning are lined up for street sandwiches. 25 people out on the street lined up. Okay. But because it's so popular, they have two. And so on the other side of the little street like this, there's another 25 people, 10:30 in the morning. And so I went and got ready and I had some cappuccino and came back and there's still 25 people in line. And it keeps going. And I mean, they'll try to button line.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll do anything they can. In fact, when we're going into St. Peter's Basilica, we're waiting in a line that's like 2 hours long, okay? We get right to the front and these two young people, a little older than Isaac and Avery, they come right up there in the line and walk in front of every one of us and walk right through. The violent took it by force. And we were looking at them like, oh, well, you know, I mean, you know, we forgive. But and some other people, and I mean, they'll push you. Okay, we're going into St. Peter's Basilica. St. Peter's buried in there, and they're knocking you down to get in there. They're taking it by force. Now, in the gelato lines, that's really serious. But I'm telling you, all day long, that sandwich line went all day long, all day. We came back by lunchtime. In fact, we ate in front of our place we were staying. And we watched the line all day, all day, all day. It got down to four people one time. Dip says, I'm not even hungry, but I got to find out about those sandwiches. They must be something. But those people were willing to wait and wait and wait and go all day long for that sandwich. Well, I'm telling you, I could do without that sandwich. In fact, Deb brought one back to the casa we were there at. And I think I took two bites of it. I was like, no, let's get some steak Florentine or something. This is, you know. But, I mean, they're standing out on the street eating. I mean, they're taking it. They're taking it. It was worth it to them to take it. It was worth it to them to take it. Now, flying on the plane. The violent take it by force. The compartments? Lordy. Yeah. So you got to watch out on that, because those people are, I mean, somebody was stuffing stuff in there and it fell out. Oh, you know all about this. See? And so they're stuffing stuff in there. And I said, Deb, we got to pray, because that suitcase is coming out. I should have never confessed that. It did. And the flight attendant had just moved, or it would have crashed them. But I mean, people, they're, I'm going to get this and I'm going to get it now. And they're doing all this in the flesh. Well, you know, we can take our spirit and get what we want from God. I love to people watch. It was funny. But I'm telling you, people will go after stuff. Think what we can go after. Think what we can have. 32,000 promises in the Bible. 32,000 promises. We ought to be able to grab some of those. We ought to be able to take those. We ought to be able to spend those. We ought to be able to live in them. Because all we have to do is grab them with our mouth. We don't even have to stand in line all day long to get a sandwich. We don't have to do all that. All we have to do is just call what we want. And then hang in there, stay in there. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So you must do by faith. You must do these things by faith. Receive the promises. Reach out and grab them with a grip that can't be shaken.
Yeah.
By the least wind, by the least wave. We give up too easy. We're just too weak about what we want to do. Let's get what God promised us. Let's quit being weak about it. Tap, tap, tap. Okay, nobody answered.
Come on.
Must not be God's will. The doctrine of doors. If the door didn't open easy, we better just walk away. That's not the Bible. That's not what the Bible said. The Bible said that the violent take it by force. Grab it. Take it. This is mine. I got to get down the line on this. Praise the Lord. All right. Hold on to those promises. Look, you might feel like your situation's holding on you. But if you made that grab for something, stay with it no matter what. Just stay with it. Take it by faith. The word say this to yourself too. I've taken this by faith. And the word says I can have it. It belongs to me. Now, once you really start doing this stuff and you keep walking and confessing and you're climbing and you're climbing and you're climbing and you're climbing in this stuff, you're going to build your faith capacity. And the spirit world is going to know you. And they're going to go, no use. They're not going to let me get away with this. It's going to happen. Amen. And as you go in that, you're going to have to understand that there's never a plateau. You got to stay on your faith. It's not hard. Does it take all your time? Once you grab what you want, it's just a thank you from there on out. Thank you, Lord, for it. Thank you, Lord, for it. And, of course, confessing the promises and things like that. This doesn't have a big struggle all the time, because now you're in the rest. God said it. I claimed it. I grabbed it. I'm not letting go of it. And so it's done already. I'm not still looking for it to be done. It's done in my heart, so it's done. Amen. I told you I was going to preach on faith until the believers' convention. Right. All right. So here's what you need to know. God is not going to come hit you in the head and say, get in line for provision. I'm going to give you some provision now. I'm going to give you some healing. I'm going to give you some joy. I'm going to give you some peace. I'm going to give you some wisdom. So get in line. No, this is something that you have to come get. It's available to you, but you have to take it. The Bible says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask it of God. Ask it of God. You need to ask God for it. And it says that he'll give it to you without criticizing you. Amen. Praise the Lord. So he's not going to hit you over the head with it and say, get in line. You're going to have to do it. He's not going to drop it on you, and he's not going to spoon feed you. All he offers is, would you like to have an abundant life?
Yes.
Would you like to have some victories? Then that's what the abundant life is. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I came to give life and life more abundant. So get on that side and go after that. Amen. You have to take it. Faith takes, and it never turns loose. And because faith never turns loose, it leads to success by the power of God. It's all by the power of God. Amen. So what do you want? Now, this may be something that maybe you haven't thought of. I want to put something on here that might help you. Whatever you're asking God for, go to God and quote scriptures to him.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Scriptures about what you want. It's like this. Lord, you said in Psalm 91,
yep.
You said in Psalm 91, what did he say? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So as I go forth into this thing I'm going into, I thank you for your protection. Every day we were in Israel, every day we were on that bus, we quoted Psalm 91. We took it. We grabbed it. We went over the Green Line. We went into the West Bank. We went all these places. We went where they get on there with machine guns and walk through our bus. Never had one inkling of fear, and neither did the girls when they went recently, and they went into Gaza.
Yeah.
So, did you? Or close? Close. Okay. I want to make sure I got that right. So, you know, if you're in God's will, you're safe.
Amen.
But you always want to be quoting your promise. He talks about three kinds of deliverance over there. You need to look that up and see about it. All right, but talk to God about it. And I want to emphasize that today because tell him what belongs to you. Then don't turn loose of it. And thank him for it and thank him for what he's about to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because, church, this is a relationship. After all, it is faith in God, not faith in just your faith. It's faith in God. So, Lord, you said this. I tell the Lord this all the time. Lord, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him. You know that scripture? As unto this day, I commit my body to you. I commit my life to you. I commit this ministry to you. This is yours. You keep it. You keep it, Lord. And you talk to him like that. Lord, you promised me healing. Healing is the children's bread. You promised me prosperity. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Father, I thank you that my soul prospers. And I'm receiving today that my soul will prosper so that I'm actually able to handle finances and not mess my life up with them.
Amen.
Talk to him about it.
Yes.
You said this, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
He's not a slot machine.
Right.
He's not. You're not just. Now, it's good to confess things out in the atmosphere. It's great. You should do that because the whole spiritual world's listening to you. But at the same time, you want to talk to him personally.
Right.
Amen. Talk to God. Now, this is what I wanted to get to as we're closing here. Maybe today you're living with a contradiction of the abundant life. Maybe it's a contradiction. It isn't going right for you. So where do we go from here if things are not happening for you? Well, we were in a contradiction for a moment when we were in Italy.
Yeah,
when Megan had the accident, it was a contradiction.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, God showed up in every way. He showed up in every way. In spite of any emotions that were running. And I know she was in pain, but God took care of everything. And if they were here, they would witness to that. It was a contradiction, but we stayed with it. And we listened to what he had to say. And everything came. Everything came that needed to come. Even on a Sunday when everything was closed, everything came. People helped. It was good. So, where do we go from here? Because you may be in the pit and you need to get to the palace. Joseph went from the pit to the palace.
Yeah.
What was his secret? What did he know? He knew who he was.
Yeah.
He knew who he was.
Yeah. Right.
And so here's the thing. Joseph refused to let go of what God had put inside of him. Once again, this is the violent taking it by force.
Yeah.
You can't let your current condition determine who you are. Don't let your current condition determine who you are. You're a son. You're a little anointed one, a Christian. That means little anointed one. You are the righteousness of God, so says the Apostle Paul, from the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Listen, the biggest tool of the devil is his deception. He tempts you. He draws you in. You fall for it, and then he makes you feel guilty for it. That's what he does. But listen, listen to this scripture. This is Hebrews 10:1. The old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come, not the good things themselves. Did you get that? The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. So, you know, they're killing the animals and doing all the stuff in the tabernacle and in the temple, killing the lambs and all that. It says, if they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped, for the worshipers would have been purified once for all. And their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. King James says, should have no more conscience of sins. You are in right standing with God right now. Right now. You have to know who you are. Because if you let the devil eat you up with guilt, your faith is never going to work. You're in the right standing with God right now. But you don't know what I've done. God knows what you've done. Everything. He knows everything we've all done. Join the club. The point is right now is that our club, our life, is that we're the righteousness of God. And so we should not go around feeling guilty all the time. If you make a mistake, go to God and confess it and get that relationship back in order and move on and forget the guilt.
Amen.
Get rid of the guilt. Throw it away. Or the false guilt even you may have to deal with. Amen. You have been perfectly cleansed right now.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Listen, it is true that if you sow toward the curse, you could reap symptoms of the curse. It's obvious that that's true because there's a lot of born again people that don't know that we're blessed and not cursed. They just think they're still earning God's love.
Yeah.
We're not earning God's love. We're not earning our victory.
Amen.
We have the victory.
Yes.
We have to grab it.
Yes.
We have to take it.
Amen.
It's ours. But the truth is a lot of people don't know that, and they're just living in the lies of the curse. But I'm going to tell you something. You're not cursed.
Amen.
There's no stamp on your head. There's no seal on your head. You are not cursed. You are blessed. Because Jesus obeyed everything. And he is your representative.
Yeah.
Praise God for that. So whatever it comes along is under the blood. And of course, you don't want to participate in all the stuff because there is a devil out there. You want to do what's right. Do it right because it's right. But do that for the right reason. Not to try to earn, but to be who you are. To have the character of God. Character building is great. You're not going to have any faith without it. But the truth is that you have to rise above the curse line. Rise above that. So right now, if you're in a contradiction somewhere, rise above that.
Amen.
Something, I heard it come out of someone's mouth recently. Well, this such and such probably happened to me because I did such and such. Now, it could have, but all you have to do is if you did such and such, you are forgiven for that if you'll go back to it. We do live in seed time and harvest. If you're not tithing, the devourer will come along. It is true. However, there's a setup there that can block out the punishments if you'll get in it. The punishment's coming from the devil, not God. It's not God. God's punishment is over for you. You're not going to the judgment throne. like other people. You're going to, you, there's going to, your works are going to be judged, but you're not. You're saved.
Thank you, Lord.
But if on the day of judgment, that means the day that the devil comes to accuse you.
Yeah.
And you got to plead the blood.
Yeah.
You got to plead the blood.
Amen.
That's why you stay in relationship with him, church. And if something starts going wrong, if the contradiction starts coming, go back and ask the Lord. Okay, what's going on?
Yeah.
What was the last thing you told me to do and I didn't do it? And then do it.
Yeah.
But you don't have to live in any curse. You need to start getting in your thinking. You're the righteousness and you're blessed.
That's right.
Live from there. Don't live trying to get there. Live from there.
That's good.
Okay? It is God's intent to prosper you. Now, I want you to get this. Even in hard places.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even in hard places. When things are tough, he wants to prosper. We were in a hard place last Sunday.
Yeah.
And God prospered us.
He did.
The pharmacies were closed. There was no way to get a hold of any people. And I told Toby, I said, Toby, if you will just get in the rest, everything will come to you. Just trust God right now. And I made one phone call. And this man, he came. He brought crutches. He went to the, found an open pharmacy. They were all closed. I don't know where he found it. He got the medication. He found Megan a ride to the airport. Everything fell into place because we trusted God. And we didn't go, I don't know how we're going to do it. We just trusted God and not just what we could find on the webpage. That just helped somebody right there. Praise the Lord. Okay. Okay. Now listen to this. We're going to start closing. It's God's intent to prosper even in hard places. He did that with Joseph.
Yes.
Potiphar, he was blessed there until Miss Potiphar did her thing. But then when he went to prison, he was blessed there. The guards favored him. He had a job there. He was blessed. Now, grab this. When the, Warren Buffett says, y'all know who Warren Buffett is?
Yeah.
Okay. When the market drops, what do? You invest. You listen to me? When the market drops, you invest. Okay? Now, we should do that spiritually.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Don't let the bottom fall out right there. When the brook tries to dry up,
yeah.
Or the contradiction comes, don't go down with the ship.
Yeah.
Don't invest right there.
Yeah.
Start investing right there in that moment. If we hit a low point, we need to invest in the summit that we're about to reach.
Right.
Invest in what's going to happen. Invest in you're going to get out of this.
Amen.
Invest that this situation does have an expiration date on it. And you're going to go, but invest in that. Invest in what's coming.
Yeah.
That's what faith is. It's you investing in what's in what you're calling. You're going to bring it to right now, the summit that you're going to.
Yeah.
Have you ever been away from home, and especially when you were a little kid, and you missed home and you wanted to go home, but it was 3 days away and you couldn't do anything about it? No. I was really like that when I was a kid so bad. I always wanted my mother. I had this thing. I thought my mother needed me. See? And she was glad I was gone, probably. But I always wanted to go home. But... instead of suffering for 3 days, start making your plans. You're coming out.
Yeah.
Come on.
Start making your plans. Start investing in that summit that you're going to.
Yeah.
Invest in it.
Yeah.
This is how it is. This is how it's going to be. This is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to live and not die. You're going to live and not die. You're not going to grow old and grow sick, grow weary, lose your memory and all that. Start investing right now. So those of you that are 40, some right here, right 40-ish, don't wait till you're 60 to start declaring that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
Amen.
Because if you don't, when I'm 80, you won't be able to run through Italy with me. Okay? Or Israel. Praise the Lord. But invest now.
Yes.
Say what you want now.
Yes.
And don't do this. Well, I sure am hoping that it's gonna. Hope is in the future. If you're going to have your future change, you change your now, and your future will be different.
Right.
You got that. Okay. All right, let me close this thing up. In the times of uncertainty, you can practice good stewardship, the good stewardship that you were entrusted with. Keep going.
Yes.
Keep doing what you need to do. Keep preaching what you need to preach. Keep following your mandate. What is your mandate with God? My mandate is to tell the world that God is good.
Yes.
And I'm staying on that mandate until the day I go to heaven. That's exactly what I'm going to do. God is good. Stay with what God shows you. Say, no, this is, no, I don't care how that's going. This is what we said. This is what God said. This is how Victory Church is going. This way. Well, you know, I don't care about they. I care about what God said for us. Okay? You just keep flowing that way. This is our life. This is our life. We do what God tells us to do. You're going to live by faith. Listen to me. You're going to have to be a disciplined person.
True.
Oh, no. What? Yeah. You will actually have to be a disciplined person. Why? Because if you are going to live by faith, you can't be moved by what you see, what you hear, or how you feel on any given day. You will have to say, nope.
Yeah.
I don't care. This is not the plan. This is contradicting the plan. So we're moving out of this.
Yes.
Not having it. I've done this over and over and over for 30 years, and it works. I just did while we were in Rome. I mean, we worked hard. It was a trip to, you know, we're running, we're working, we're climbing. The stairs in the Colosseum, whew, there's something. They're like that. You have to step up that high. And I mean, it's work for the body, you know, and everything. We did it. And one day I was just sitting in a church, and I was in the Pantheon. I was sitting in the Pantheon listening to Raphael talk about where he was buried. And Raphael's a great artist of the Renaissance. And so all of a sudden, I had a little event. I went, nope. And we walked right through it, came right back up out of it.
Yep.
And I just didn't take it. I'm like, no, I'm on vacation.
That's right.
I'm not taking you coming in here and doing this to me, especially not in the Pantheon.
Or anywhere.
Amen. Or anywhere. You have to grab hold of what you know.
That's right.
I rested for a few minutes, worked through it, and of course my prayer partner there knocked it out. But I was perfectly fine. Didn't ever bother me again. Amen. God is good. First words. The first reaction. It's not, oh, Elizabeth, I'm coming to you.
Yeah, come on.
Danny's probably too young to know Fred Sanford. Do you?
No.
Okay, see.
I was thinking Mary.
Did you hear that? She says, I was thinking Mary. Oh, Elizabeth, I'm coming to you. I love you, sweet girl. His name is Red Fox. Y'all are probably too young to remember him, but he had a show. And do y'all know it, girls? Y'all don't know who he is? Okay, so he would always fake a heart attack. Did you know that man died of a heart attack on the set?
Wow.
He did. He died of a heart attack on the set. A funny man, but those words came to pass. Ain't having it.
Amen.
We're going to have what we say.
Yeah.
And we're going to say the right thing.
Amen.
Amen. You receive this today?
Yes.
So, Father, we thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we are people of faith. We walk by faith. And by faith, it requires an investment in what you are about to do. And so we invest in what you're about to do. We have the glory. We have the glory realm here. We have the miracles here. We have the prosperity here. We have the health here. We have good character here. We have all that we need here in Jesus' name. We have the hungry people here. We have the people that want to take the kingdom by passion, by force. They'll grab with their faith what's available so that we can be world changers. We can change this world in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Lord. We receive it today. Thank you for it, Lord. If you right now today, if you've been in a contradiction in any way, stand up right now and we're going to pray for you. If there's a contradiction going on right now, it is going to end. We're going to command it to end right now in the spirit world and it's going to be over, okay? So, Father, in the name of Jesus, for every person you see standing that is going through something that is contradictory to where they have placed their faith or where they have said that what they said they could have by the promises of God, right now, in the name of Jesus, by the authority and anointing on my life, I declare it is finish. No man eat this fruit hereafter forever. In Jesus' name. Grab hold of that and it's going to change. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. No more living in the contradiction.
That's right.
Keep him out. He's out. Now today, go find your scripture that God gives you.
Yes.
And you stand on that verse and you tell him, Lord, you said.
Yes.
You see, I'll take my Bible to him and I said, you know what you said right here, Lord? You know what you said? I act like he's right here in the first person. You want to know why? Because he is.
Yes.
I'm like, you see that right there, Lord? You see what you just said right there?
Mm-hmm.
You said that.
Amen.
You said. And so I have it. You said.
That's right.
And I believe what you said.
Yep.
Many, many turnarounds right now, right now, many turnarounds right now, many turnarounds right now. It's going to turn around. It's turning around. It's turning around. Now, get up off that thing and quit saying, I hope so. Grab it. Grab it. And stay with it. You're totally able to stay with it.
Yeah.
You have everything you need, especially if you've been here for the last few years. You have everything you need. All the stuff you listen to, things, you have it. Just turn around. It'll just turn around. He is the God of the turnaround, you know. He'll turn it around. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You've won.
Yes.
You have won. Did you take it?
Yes.
Grab it. And don't go home going, well, that sure was a good sermon. Go home and say, you know what? I got it. And I will be the one who will come back saying, this turned around immediately. Do it. We're not playing church. We are the church. We're not coming in here to hear a cute little sermon, a little religious thing. We're not coming in here to decide whether women preachers are of God.
Yeah.
My Lord. Don't you see what the scripture says? Women, be quiet in church. It's interesting that same preacher in the very next chapter tells women what to do about prophesying.
Yeah.
How dumb. Well, you know, you shouldn't have anything because then you'll be arrogant. Well, I'll tell you, some of the most entitled people are arrogant. Y'all gonna pay my way. That doesn't work. It's all about your character. It's all about your heart. It's all about what you'll do with God. The sky's the limit. The universe is the limit. The heavens are the limit for you. You can do anything you want to do. You can totally answer your call and stand before God and hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. It's totally possible. And nobody can get in your way.
Amen.
Nobody. Nobody.
Right.
Nobody. Not the religious people.
Right.
The word said so.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
It doesn't matter whether you're black, white, cream color, yellow, from Michigan. We'll let them in too. God's got you. God has got you. It's time to win. Stop being poor little me. Stop doing that. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop being critical of other people. Stop living in the sin of preference. I don't like what they sang. I don't like what they did. I don't like how they were dressed. I don't like this. Man, you better find the will of God and get in the will of God and stay in the will of God in the church God called you to, so you can grow and change and meet your mandate and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And it's going to be about you being in a local church that believes something besides rules and religion.
Yeah.
I'm Roxanne Alexander, and I approve of this message.
Amen.
Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen.